Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. Today is the day. Today is the day, March 14th. The release of Awake But Sick, the myth of immediate freedom, and the dangers of spiritual seeking and finding. That's a long one. Just remember, Awake But Sick. I did a podcast last week on it. I poured my heart out. I told you why I cried. This is the most emotionally important one to me because I've had such freedom from, frankly, my life, just so you know, is this is what awakening should be like. Say it that way. And what I was doing before was clearly a bypass. Energetically, it's different. My relationships are different. My health is good. My levels, my doctor said, are basically perfect for my age, which I always had diseases and health issues. So I'm doing better than I should be, probably, at this age. And with all that's happened to me, I mean, gosh, I feel unbelievably grateful just on a personal level, just on the sense of Scott's life. And then as a teacher, this is perfect because this is the book that sets the record straight. I've written 7 books on non-duality, awakening, and even embodiment. But without this book out there, it's like I left a trail of avoidance, helping people avoid. And although I've been, as you can see, very active on the internet to just teach a different way that's not avoidant, there was no book out there until now. And this is written by Miyatoshi Matsunaga. This is important just as a teacher. You know, I've gone back and forth with the whole teacher role. If you want to know some behind the scenes here. Because, I mean, many teachers do. You can hear certain teachers say it like, I'm not a non-duality teacher. They'll sort of give up that role or take it on. I'm settled in that. That's not a problem because I'm not identified with it. The reason that we would be identified with something would be repressed emotions. It's safer to believe on some level you're a teacher than it is to just be authentic. It's so simple. It's like, even if you believe, it's like believing in a loser. I'm a loser. Believing in enlightenment. I'm enlightened. To the unconscious, it just means we're safe with that. Once I saw that, it's just, I knew what my path was. It's to get to the buried emotions that create all that suffering. So that's what the work is, and that's what it has become. It's embodiment first. It's an approach that works, and it has changed everything, and it had changed everything about the way that I was teaching. So those first 7 books, I don't teach that way. That's a good start. What you would do is read one of those books, maybe when you first start working, doing inquiry with me, or just listening, just to get started. Especially if you have no exposure to non-duality teachings, sure, read one of those books. But what I'm doing in the world really is, as I see it, is teaching differently than anything I was doing in those books, and really differently than any other teacher. And let me explain it. The release of the book today gives me an opportunity to truly explain all this. I don't point to presence, and I haven't for a number of years. I know now that's a boundary for me. This is cute, actually, about myself, I think, because I had boundaries before I knew what they were, because my realization was truly authentic. It was organic. I was discovering authenticity, and I just stopped pointing to presence as a teacher. I wouldn't come to YouTube and just sit there and, you know, how teachers do. But I didn't have a reason for it. I didn't need one, and it wasn't resistance, so I trusted it. I just kept saying no to that. Later on, I understood that's a boundary for me. I don't want to do that, and I was trusting myself because I don't want to do it unless there's an education that comes with it to say this kind of teaching and pointing is a bypass in this way. If you listen to me, this will lead to that. So the point is, well, then why teach like that if it's a bypass? Exactly. See, if you understand, you may not see the bypass yourself, but you will see it much more. And maybe you won't ever be able to unsee it once you read this book. But if that's not enough, do emotional repression inquiry, and then you can never go back to thinking that those non-dual teachings, including my books, but things like it, were ever going to end suffering for most people. And most people have not ended suffering. How do I know that? Because I worked with, again, 14,000 sessions through the years one-on-one. That's more one-on-one sessions than most teachers do, I think. And I learned so much. I met people all over the world. I saw their experience. Their exposure to these teachings did not end suffering. It changed forms from some emotional suffering to perhaps a physical disease, like with me. Because repression creates all these different forms of suffering. And if we're focused just on anything in particular that's arising, we may never get to the root of it all. To sit and allow things is like allowing things at the tip of an iceberg, and all of these things have roots below the water that you can't see. So just sitting there, things coming and going in awareness for years, teaching people to watch and allow things coming and going. And that was a state of safety. That was a response to trauma in the sense that the buried emotions were driving the pointing, which was avoidant, and those who were seeking enlightenment, who were seeking safety from buried emotions, the pointers and practices kept them safe too. It's a kind of a trauma bond. So this is the book that, you know, that's a boundary that explains the boundary more than ever. I said to Toshi before we got the book done, I need to add the chapter we do that explains how the specific pointers, because he and I have talked about it for years, but we've never shared it with people. Well, we put it in the book, specific pointers and practices and exactly how they are avoidant, like as detailed as we can, even though it's experiential, to explain it. So it's like a resource book. It has a bunch of science in it. It has personal stories that explain how you can live your life, be a spiritual seeker or a finder or a teacher, and have no idea about the buried emotions and how they're manifesting, even in being a peaceful person. And so even though it's a book that, it's like a book that a teacher kind of whistleblowing on himself in a way, at the same time, it's the beginning and will be for many people the beginning of a completely different, more integrated, embodied path that gets to the root. I hope that there are some of you listening who still don't know about what we do here and that will read this book and be surprised. Maybe pleasantly, maybe even triggered, but surprised at how much that what I teach is based in science. Because I don't cite the studies, I was forever changed by this work experientially. And this work didn't even start for me until I got my head out of the non-dual teachings and started studying this. The trauma research, Bessel van der Kolk, and a number of things that helped me understand what was happening for me. That was the first time that I truly began to understand how suffering arises. But then by developing the work, I saw it within myself. That's an education I couldn't get from non-duality, how to end suffering. And I didn't get the question answered outside of non-duality either. I just got enough bits and pieces that I could go in my own body and access the unconscious. So with the help of Dr. John Sarno, a bunch of scientific studies on the link between emotional repression and chronic pain, disease, mental health issue, addiction, relationship issues, and just a ton of behaviors. It was life-changing. And then to see that all my suffering was also coming from repression, to see it in direct experience, I was changed. I had direct experience that showed me that repression was the root. I had the transformation with just so much fullness and flow and abundance, really, and just joy from this work. And then there's the science that just stood next to me as a support because I didn't find it in the teachings, except for like Ken Wilber and a few others. I really realized that we need to be able to trust authority that can lead us in the right direction. It's just that I didn't find that authority in any of the non-dual teachers, and I was one. I didn't find it in myself. The bypass is what I found. You know, being a non-dual teacher, it wasn't necessarily good for me. I mean, I could have done worse things, obviously. But as an anger repressor, it just wasn't good for me to be that role because so many reasons. There's a lack of authenticity often with non-dual teachers. They are dismissive of trauma. They're not transparent, and I wasn't any either. There's a focus on being or presence or peace, and there's just no anger in any of it, really, for the most part. People love you and approve of you, which feeds the childhood emotional needs that you don't know you have. So it just, all these things converge for people when they become helpers, but how conscious are they? I wasn't, of how repression was still driving me. Someone asked, well, how did you begin teaching? Didn't you know that you still needed love and approval? No, and here's why. It's the bypass. So if you imagine an iceberg, again, at the tip is all the stuff we're aware of or that we can become aware of with some inquiry. And below the water are things that just don't arise. The mind-body connections associated with holding emotions back, repressing them, and being afraid to be ourselves. Those are buried. And so at the tip, before I became a teacher, I was just living as awareness and listening for stories, but the stories were getting quiet and it was just, and I kept waiting to teach. I was like, it's not, I want to express something, but I can't yet because there's still, I could tell there was some stories like that had to do with being unlovable and needing to kind of prove something, if you will. So I just sat and watched. This is what we do when we bypass. Just sit and watch and feel and allow. And then basically when it went quiet, just those stories and feelings around that, it was like, okay, now I'll teach. But I had no awareness of what was under the water or in my body, the buried anger. I couldn't feel the anger. That was just, at that point, sensation that upon first awakening or just presence, that was just all that it was. It didn't know it was buried anger. Very easy to overlook until that pain, that sensation became pain worse and worse and worse. But in the beginning, it's just so easy to not notice the unconscious. There's just, that's a sensation. I didn't know it was buried anger. And I couldn't hear any stories about needing love or anything like that because those were buried. And then all the stories at the surface, at the tip, had gone, well, not all of them, but mostly quiet. So you would think, well, I thought, or I stepped into teaching because it felt like it was authentic. But I now know I didn't know what authenticity was. Until we process buried emotions, how can we? The buried emotions created that false ego my whole life. And when I stepped into the role, I stepped into it in a way that wasn't true for me. I got two diseases and an addiction by still being in ego with the realization. Because the ego has its roots in the body. It's about not feeling something, not expressing something. So if it can express itself as a teacher who never feels and expresses emotions, perfect. Or who says allow everything, but who doesn't, because I had buried anger and didn't know it. You can't allow buried emotions. I lived in two worlds, even though, so it was unhealthy in the way I was doing it. And the world outside of my teaching illuminated that. But like when you have buried anger, well, we often live in two worlds. It's like the wife doesn't know about the porn. You know what I mean? Or there's just certain desires and thoughts that you don't share with people. Or you don't let people see you, afraid to be seen. Shame around certain things, around sex or the body or addictions. This is the life of emotional repression. That's what it is. And because there's shame that protects us from the repressed emotions, we don't talk about this, these parts of our lives. But I put myself out into the public as a teacher, which is like consciousness wanting to have this experience of, here are these bad parts that most of them are buried. I didn't even know I had buried anger, of course, and I'm teaching. But these bad parts, the addictions and the various things, it's like they can't be included in the teaching. The sex, what's that have to do with awareness? Some teachers actually say this. It's ridiculous. It's dismissive and avoidant. So, I mean, that role of the teacher just being there and then on the side having a BDSM addiction, hit that. Those just two things. Look at that. On the left side of your awareness, just imagine there I am on YouTube pointing, quote unquote, peacefully to being with what is. And then look on the other side, if you can imagine I'm being dominated sexually by a man and I've completely given up all control with a few limits. Yeah, that's, see, covert narcissism is not just like the preacher who goes home and beats his wife, or the politician who's like the Republican conservative and he's creating the anti-gay legislation because the gays are ruining the country, and then he gets caught in the bathroom with a guy. It's just like, it's any kind of thing where shame, where there are these parts of ourselves, the bad parts, that can't be seen. But the irony is, I was a non-dual teacher. So it's like the good parts are okay, but you can't see the bad parts. And then I would talk about non-duality. That's ridiculous. And that's why you have to live non-duality to teach it. And you have to be wide open if you're going to teach it. If you're not wide open, the parts that you don't share usually end up being the darkness that drives you. And you know, we stuff it down there and pretend it's not there. We can't be choosy about reality. We can't just say, well, the bad parts are not part of non-duality, but the good parts are, or the peaceful, the peace is, but the anger's not. Or this way that I like sex, that's not allowed. Or this part of me is not allowed. I mean, it's not non-duality, period. It's just pious. It's like, it's just kids trying to be good, trying to be peaceful, trying to get mom and dad's love and approval, calling it spirituality. And we're so clever. I became so clever like other teachers at like saying, never mind the peace. Even though I'm constantly pointing to presence, which is very peaceful, don't get attached to the peace, kids. How could you not, if you have buried anger and hurt, become attached to the peace of presence? How could you not use that to avoid? When I was, those of us seeking peace or AKA presence, let's be honest, we can't. If you went into our bodies, you would realize, no, we want peace for one reason, to keep those emotions buried, to stay safe. Well, two reasons, and to get love Because if we can be peaceful instead of angry, we can get love and approval. The ego can keep going. I train some teachers. I still do. People who want to be teachers too. And so at some point when I stopped pointing to presence because of this peace addiction, I was a safety dealer. They would come up to me from time to time and say, Scott, but you're good at it and we should point to presence. It's part of it. And I would say, you should embody presence. You should. And see what that's about. See what all that pointing is about. Instead of being so eager to go out there and point for people. Because if you're an anger repressor, I would say to them, you're driven to do that for love and approval and to stay safe. And you're bamboozling me right now by saying that I need to go do that. You need to go do that. That's a shadow. I don't need to go do that. I did that. I led a lot of people into avoidance who wanted to go there, but still, you can go do that. But no, there's more than one way to teach. And so here's what I'm going to do in the future. With this book out, this I feel like everybody who comes to this work through this spiritual path can read that book as like the gateway into seeing what we do here with regard to the spiritual path. People come here for different reasons. They come here for relationship issues. I developed this work because of chronic pain. So it's not the only way that, the only reason that people come. But because I started out as a teacher, I still want to talk to those people. And this book gives me an opportunity, and this podcast, to explain how I'm teaching. I'm not pointing in the old way. If I do, it comes with education as to how there's a bypass in it. That kind of teaching is free. So the non-duality teaching that I used to do, including all the inquiries, are now free. And I think that they are as skillful, or in some cases more skillful, than the stuff that you guys pay for. So for you to pay for non-duality or even good somatic inquiry, it doesn't make a lot of sense now that you're paying for stuff because it's free here. Unless it's just something that you like to do, but be careful because the avoidant path is full of like choices and decisions that come from the need for safety. And so, you know, spending a lot of money and still suffering and not realizing your choices are coming from that. We removed the financial barrier so that you could take a closer look at, do you want freedom? Are you on an avoidant path? If something is given to you for free, will you sabotage that? Will you not do it? Will you find reasons, other reasons, if it's not money, to say, well, I just don't like Scott. That's fine, but the tools are still free. Which reason are you going to give? Because if you, what we'll show you at the unconscious level is you don't want freedom. I'm not kidding. It's not even speculative. We'll show you in your body how you want to stay safe and get love instead. And how that conditioning makes you believe and think, I have to heal or seek, but that seeking towards the future is just to keep you out of the body. And things are actually simpler even than they look here at the surface. And I'll explain that. See, once people read this book, they'll know that my teaching includes the following, that we miss the main duality. And if you miss the main duality from the beginning of your path, you will continue to perpetuate the cycles of suffering. The main duality is below the water of the iceberg is something simple. It's fear, specific fear of feeling and expressing buried emotions and being rejected or losing people if you do. And we stick to that because those are the core fears that are externalized as needs. This is all unconscious. None of these are in stories. This is all essentially under the water. So we walk into rooms with a need for love, approval, and safety, but we don't own it. When suffering happens because we don't get our needs met, we don't own that we create the triggers to protect us from the buried emotions. We have ongoing upset and disconnection and fighting with the people that we love to stay safe from the buried emotions and continue to get their love as something false. It's all driven by repression. Our diseases, as science says, are actually just like expressions of repression. They're created by it, many of them, mental health issues. Once we understand this, we can see that here in spirituality, we miss the main duality, that we didn't deal with buried emotions. We didn't deal with what's under the water, and instead we have been dealing only with what's at the tip. For KI purposes, here's what's at the tip of the iceberg. Everything that you're visibly aware of or can become reasonably aware of through spiritual practice, it's what arises to awareness. But as you process at the unconscious, you'll see that what arises to awareness arises because of the buried emotions. What arises is simpler than, safer than what we've buried. What arises gets us love and approval, even if it's suffering. People-pleasing arises. That gets us love and approval. That's also suffering, coming directly from what's under the water. The pain, the avoiding the pain, the buried anger that creates that people-pleasing. So KI actually becomes very simple, a very simple non-dual modality, if you'll hear it. But with repression and trauma, it's hard to hear this. If you see the iceberg, we don't miss the main duality anymore. From the very beginning, we include it. We go into the body, and we make conscious the mind-body connections that are responsible for the suffering at the surface. So people-pleasing comes up. We'll help you find the pleasure-pain cycle there, which means you're getting something out of the people-pleasing. You're staying safe from ever getting angry. You're getting love and approval, and that comes from the buried anger and hurt. And if you don't see where it comes from, the people-pleasing continues, but on some level you want that to happen so you can get love and approval. But when you get on a spiritual path, you have to look at the stuff that you get, the positive benefit. You can't just look at the negative suffering, because the negative suffering comes when, like, you don't please people. See that? Or if we're anger repressors and we have to be good and peaceful, if somebody doesn't see us that way, we're triggered. We can't just look at when someone doesn't see us the way that we want to be seen as our ego and call that spirituality. We can't just process triggers. Triggers, when we're feeling false, that's protecting us from the buried emotions. We have to just go way deeper and include the main duality from the beginning and stop avoiding the very root of suffering. That's what we do in KI. It's body first and awareness first. It's not just awareness first. It's not just be here now. It's be here now and go straight to the conditioning that says, I don't want to be here now. I can't be here now. This is buried. But it's like, I can't be here now because I might have to get angry, or I might cry and I can't. And that's a powerful force. And so what comes up is the false ego to protect us, which it could be just a peaceful spiritual person. That's all. It's not just the violent angry. That's our shadow in spirituality. We look at angry people or narcissists or, controlling, manipulating. But all of those are traits of buried anger. It's buried in us. Buried anger is very controlling and manipulative, passively aggressive. There's a demand that the environments that we're in are safe, and we demand it. We will not be in certain environments. We will have certain responses in environments that are not safe. Now, we're just keeping ourselves safe. That's innocent, but we don't take responsibility for it, that we're demanding it in our environment. And when we don't get it, we get triggered. We get upset. Because we're demanding safety. We're demanding love. We're not taking responsibility. We're just too unconscious. When we get into spiritual communities or groups or a teacher-student relationship, if we're not talking about repressed emotions, they're running it. Have you ever been to a silent ashram where there's just no conflict? That's not healthy in any relationship, because there's no vulnerability then. Conflict and vulnerability are flip sides of the same coin. You enter into the potential for conflict, you enter into the potential for real vulnerability. If your system can't hold one or the other, then our relationships are avoidant. Our spiritual communities are then avoidant. Everywhere we go, we're avoidant. We're looking for the answer outside of ourselves. Even in spirituality, when they tell us it's within us, we go within, but not to the root of it. We go in for safety then. Still avoidant, still driven by the buried emotions. You do what I did, maybe. You have that initial recognition of presence, and you don't know that what you do to it is hang on to it for dear life from an unconscious level. You couldn't know it, because when you recognize the presence, it just looks like presence, because buried emotions and that conditioning doesn't arise. So it drives the witnessing and allowing, which is safe. And if you read this book, you're going to then probably look for the refusal in the teachings and practices to go beyond that. Maybe you notice it before, but I think after this book, you will always notice it. And I just call it the avoidant, dismissive, non-dual teacher or spiritual teacher. Probably has buried anger and or hurt. You walk up to them and you say, hey, there's a shitload of science that says that buried emotions create our suffering in all forms. What say you, teacher? You'll get anything from a shoulder shrug and a kind of a smile, dismissive, to something that spiritualizes all that away, dismissive of you and the science. Don't bother with that. Ego's process, therefore using spirituality to dismiss you. Not giving you the opportunity to explore your experience by just saying, well, it could be true, why don't you look into it? Dismissing your experience and your capacity for your own exploration and your own empowerment. And that's what we do in relationship. I bet there's a lot of non-dual teachers who are shitty partners, frankly, because of that dismissive quality that we think is so awake. But it's like a language loop. And it's not embodied. It's not connected when we're talking like that. We're here to guide, not to mislead people when they're really curious as to what the root of it all is. And if we don't know what the root of it is, we should say that. Because people are interested. They're reading the science. But a lot of us are like walking around like dinosaurs about to be extinct, still thinking that we can live on this earth that way and not connect with our bodies and the science and you when you have legitimate questions like that. And that dismissal can lead people, because they trust teachers, into more avoidant paths, just like dismiss it within themselves. Be gaslit and then gaslight yourself. From that point forward, teacher's right. He made a good point. By me sitting and thinking about this, I'm creating suffering. My fixation on the fact that I have trauma, that is my ego. And if I can just notice that and be with that fixation and let that problem go and just be here now, and I see there's just presence. What trauma? When I woke up, that's what it felt like. It's like I had the thought, I think all that bullying and growing up gay and in shame should probably be dealt with. But since it's not arising, fuck it. And I just remember it was like this one little memory in sixth grade of being bullied. And I thought, well, that's all it is. It's just this little memory. I sat there and looked at it, and then it fell away. I thought, well, that's easy to deal with trauma when you're awake. It's just an image. I didn't understand that my emotions were repressed. That's the key. We don't know. We can't feel repressed emotions. So whatever we felt or couldn't feel back then is frozen. Even upon a realization, it just feels like the leftover sensation here or there. And here comes an image. And it's so easy to dismiss because we can't feel the feelings that come with it. Therefore, witnessing becomes a way to, for some of us, dissociate even further from the very pain that could lead us to the embodied freedom. So, obviously, we're not doing that here. Please read the book. Everything you just heard me describe is the old way. This book is the new way. And once you read the book, you'll probably get me so much more on podcast if you don't already. You may not agree with everything. Please read the book twice. If you read the book once, and you have to remember that we're talking about trauma. So even we understand that even when you read the book, you will fog out on certain things. Our own editor did. She's wonderful. But as she read it a couple times, she was amazed at the book. The first time, she was stunned by it, maybe, and didn't know what to think. And I said, read it again. And she did, and she's like, oh my God. It's just totally, it kind of changed her completely. Okay, so that's what it can do. But if you read it with just like in your mind, without truly considering what's being said, truly consider it. Go do your own research if you have to. Go look at the practices yourself that we're pointing to see that they avoid what we're saying they avoid. Verify. Once you verify, we have a ton for you. As a teacher, I have so much for you. Let me explain this before I go. It's not just this book. So one part of that is there are people that I've trained who are going to go out and teach. They may not even have my name associated with them. It's through that partnership that I'm able to teach and influence and without needing that upfront credit for that. And that helps me to have a larger reach in a way that I want to. But more than that, I've given away most of the teaching for free, as I said. So the first and second dimension tools and pointers are all free. Again, if you find something more skillful out there, use it and go pay for it. But I think these tools are more skillful than most of the things out there, and they're free. So you get to see your sabotage, as I said. Seeing your own sabotage might make you more interested in what I'm talking about, because self-sabotage is how we stay safe and get love from repression. When we have an intention at the surface to do something, it's thwarted by the fears that are buried. And then that'll keep happening until we catch on to it. But when we catch on to it, we can only see it or think about it. It's an unconscious activity. So these free tools are helping you spot an unconscious activity of having an intention to find love, happiness, freedom, peace, and then you only have suffering, or you have more suffering. There's a reason for that, and it's driven by the unconscious. But these free tools will not show you the unconscious any more than the non-dual teachings out there. The point being that if you do these free tools, you'll always be educated in a way that those teachings and practices will not educate you. So you won't be, in my view, programmed into the bypass if you use the free tools here instead of paying for it there. That allows me as a teacher to connect with you. And on social media, then understand that my teaching goes beyond just mentoring people. I mentor people in the repression inquiry only. To me, it's the only thing worth doing. I won't charge for the bypass, but the bypassing tools are there to help you all prepare for if and when you're ready for the repression inquiry. So I'm teaching out here. And some of you may have questions about your use of the free tools, but I probably won't be mentoring you in the comments. I won't be giving you skill help on the free tools. The reason is I have my own boundaries. And authenticity came up for me. I want to teach how I want to teach, and I don't want to do that. But I'll give those tools away for free so that you can have the autonomy and the power to use them and experience the freedom and the limitations of them, just like I did. And then come and listen to me, and I'll show you more and more of the limitations of that way of being with your experience, with the hopes that you'll hear me on the repression inquiry, which is where it's at. Start with the book. The link is in the description. Thank you for listening.